Hey, what is up? God bless you. It is me, Dr. Letitia Webb, and I am the woman who prayed and painted to clear the muddied waters in my marriage. And then I took that artwork and I used it as inspiration to create products now that I sell the check-in cards. God bless you. It is another beautiful day in the Lord. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God shine his face upon you. Amen. And may God give you his peace. I pray that you had a wonderful night. Amen. I pray that God continues to speak to you and have his way in you. Amen. As you know, we are firing on all cylinders. We are recording the podcast on YouTube Live, and we are on Facebook Live. Amen. So let's go ahead and get right into it. We're going to pray, process the devotional in God, resilient, and pursue God's word. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, and we honor you. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for another day. Speak to us, Lord God. Move by your power, Lord Jesus. Father God, let there be light. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us and show us something. Father God, I yield myself to you as a vessel of honor, fit for your use, Lord God. Have your way in me. Have your way in this time, in this day, Lord God. Father God, thank you for the brand new mercies. Father God, thank you for what you are teaching about kingdom value, spiritual capital, and relationship dynamics. Lord God, continue, Father God, to be with us. Your word says that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father God, open up our eyes, Lord God. Open up our ears, Lord God. You said, they that have an ear, let them hear what thus saith the Lord. May we hear you. May we see you. May we perceive you. May we honor you. May we love you. May we worship you. And may we give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless each and every one of you. God bless you, Elise. It is so wonderful to see you on YouTube this morning. Thank you so much. Let's see who is here. God bless you. Deacon Johnson, is wonderful to see you. And hello, Terry. God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. So we have been studying the whole topic of kingdom value. Amen. And we have kingdom value. Hallelujah. But we've been looking specifically at the topic of relationship dynamics. Amen. Relationship dynamics and how our kingdom value is impacted based on those relationship dynamics. And I think I tried to do this before. I wanted to post a picture on this live, and I am unable to do that, which makes me very upset because I am a visual person. And it helps with my teaching. Amen. There was a post that I saw, and I may just have to write the post out. If you guys are able to write this out for me on YouTube, that'll be awesome. It says, I can't remember the quote, but I'm going to write it out. I'm just going to write it the way I remember it. People only see your triggers. People only see your reactions. And trust me, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? People only see your reactions. They never want to discuss your triggers. And of course, I wish I could post the picture in the comment, and I cannot. Okay? People only see your reactions. They never want to discuss your trigger. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Rhonda. It's wonderful to see you this morning. God bless you, Gil. Thank you so much, Elise, for writing that in the YouTube comments. So, yes. You guys know that we are knee deep in the historical account. I don't like to say story because these are real people. We're not reading about fictional characters. We're reading about historical accounts. Amen. That's just a personal opinion that I have. And so we are reading the historical account about Samson. Amen. That starts in Judges chapter 13. We've gone through chapter 13 about God's prophetic announcement of Samson's coming, his upbringing, and his assignment, amen, on his life. Then we get into Samson, amen, in Judges chapter 14, and we begin to see him as a fully grown adult, and we learn about his marriage, amen. And then we get into the very end of chapter 14, and we see God's will starting to unfold of how Samson's assignment was to say, towards to begin, amen, to save Israel from the power of the Philistines, amen. So God sets up this story, amen, and the account, and he lays it out. He reveals some things to us, and he leaves a lot of things out, amen. However, we picked up on yesterday, starting at Judges 14, chapter 19 through 20, that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, stripped them, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. In a rage, Samson returned to his father's house, and his wife was given to one of the men who had accompanied him. So we learned on yesterday that the man that received Samson's wife was actually the best man of his wedding, was actually his friend, was actually his companion. So, depending on what version of the Bible you are reading, it's going to read a little different. Amen. I read from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. So, it just says, was given to one of the men who had accompanied him. It's like, okay, that could have been anybody. But if you don't study and dig deeper, then you would not know the relationship dynamic between Samson and this one particular man. He wasn't just, any old Adam. He wasn't just any old dude. He was actually his friend. And better, and I give you an even better one, it was the best man of his wedding. And so we have all of this going on, and we have been looking at these passages of scripture from an earthly human perspective. We are looking at the relationship dynamics aside from God's will and God's purpose. Amen. Because if you look at this historical account, God bless you, cuz good morning. It's wonderful to see you this morning. If you we don't know Samson's assignment, and if we don't understand that Samson has kingdom value and spiritual capital, and if we did not know that God was using Samson and his desire for this Philistine woman to create an opportunity for confrontation with the Philistines, and if we just read it like regular people reading this historical account, we will have a whole lot of judgments, a whole lot of biases, and a whole lot to say. So we are purposely looking at this account from both perspectives, from a spiritual kingdom perspective and from a lower, natural, earthly, social perspective. Because when we don't ask God to bring us up higher, when we don't ask God to give us revelatory insight through His Holy Spirit, when we don't put ourselves, the word of God says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and the earth is his footstool. When we don't position ourselves in heavenly places in Christ Jesus so that we can come up higher and see things from God's perspective, when we don't really embrace that God's ways are higher than ours, when we don't understand that God sits high and looks low, we can see things from a horizontal perspective and not a vertical perspective. So while we are looking at this account of Samson from a very human, low, horizontal perspective, we are keeping in mind that God has already revealed to us that he is in the midst of all of this. Amen? And we have a tendency to forget that God is in control. He is in control. I'm not saying that we don't have free will. And somehow in God's providence, he's so powerful and omniscient that he knows how to take our free will and still work his will and his plan. I don't know how he does it, because there are times that I will hear the Lord say, don't do this, don't do that, don't say this, and I will do it anyway. Not bragging, like, it's not cool, but I'm human, right? Or it's times that you get in your gut, something ain't right. We call it the gut, but it's really the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we move forward anyway, despite the warning, despite the handwriting on the wall. Amen. Despite all of that, we will move forward. And God still somehow works all of that for our good, for those who are love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I don't know how he does that. I don't understand providence. I'm going to be honest with you. I know that he knows the end from the beginning. I know that he is the Alpha and the Omega, that he is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. Oh, I know that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. I know that he is Elohim, that he is sovereign. I know that. I can't say I understand it. I know it. I believe it, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I think we should add to that, this is just me, and things that we don't understand. That's why in Proverbs, trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways and he shall direct your path. That is why so many people stand on that scripture, because there are so many things about God that we don't understand. And if you read this historical account of Samson with your naked natural eye, with no revelatory insight, with no discernment, we will see a whole lot of stuff. Amen. And so let's continue. But keep in mind, God has a plan and a purpose for Samson's life. Amen. He has a plan and a purpose for this whole encounter with the Philistines. Amen. So now we see in verse 20, that his wife was given to one of the men who had accompanied him. And we had even talked about how we have the clash of two cultures. We have, the nation of Israel, it was not just a race. And I've taught this before. If you've ever been in any of my Bible studies or under like a teaching of mine, the Israelites, they were a race, They were a religion, a culture, and a nation. Yeah. They were all of that. They were a race, a culture, a religion, and a nation, all in one. And so we see the clash of cultures here at play. And I'm going to we're gonna unpack that a little more on today. And the reason why I say that is because we learned yesterday, and I found the direct quote. I misquoted it yesterday, but it still has the same meaning. And it says, in the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary on Judges chapter 14, verse 20, and you can look that up for yourself, it says, a real Philistine will soon be weary of a true Israelite. Now, yesterday, the way I quoted it, or the way I shared it, it's still in the same context, but it's a little different. I said a true Philistine tolerates a true Israelite, but it's the same concept. You can you when if you soon become weary of someone, that means that there was a level of tolerance in the beginning. And when your tolerance wore thin, then you became weary of them. Amen. So, two different sides of the same coin. Amen. Tomato, tomato. Amen. And so we see here the clashing of cultures, and it's starting to unfold. And the reason why I say that was because in the Israelite faith, excuse me. In the Israelite faith community and culture, okay, faith community and culture, giving your wife to somebody else is a straight no-no. That can be considered immoral. Like, you don't do that, right? Like, this woman is married. Why would you just give her away to somebody else? And then you give her away to her best friend? I mean, to his best friend? It's like, yo, it's just certain things you just don't do. It's just certain things that it's just wrong. You just don't do that, right? But we are dealing with two different cultures. They don't have the same beliefs. They don't move the same. They don't think the same. They don't operate the same. Amen. So now let's get into chapter 15, and this is going to unfold even more. Judges chapter 15, starting at verse 1, and I read in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. The Word of God says, later on, during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a gift and visited his wife. I want to go to my wife in her room, he said, but her father would not let him enter. Okay. So, first of all, if we understand the seasons of the Israelites, amen, the wheat season occurs between mid-May and mid-June. Okay? I don't know if you guys remember, but my husband and I used to host the Authentic Servant Leadership Award ceremony. And that particular ceremony had a deeper spiritual relevance, and it was connected to Shavuot, which was a part of the wheat harvest. So we would always have it around that time of the year between May and June. Amen. Don't want to get off topic. I just want to let you guys know that I understand that time of year. That was the wheat harvest, amen. That was also connected to Pentecost, but we're not going to go there. And so what I learned in my study is that when you live in the country, a lot of times in that culture, the country weddings were in what we consider as March. And I'm going somewhere, okay? So what we consider our March, like this time of year, if you lived in the country in that part of the world and region in that time, their weddings were held in March around this time of year. Now, this is very key here. Amen. Like God is just so, he's so powerful, and he like lets us know what we need to know that's so relevant. Amen. There is a reason why chapter 15 starts with the dimension of time. Amen. Because when you understand the dimension of time, things start to make sense. Okay, so later on during the wheat harvest. So now let's go back up to the dimension of time. So now we understand that weddings in the country occur, because remember, this was in Timnah. Amen. When it says that Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman, that is Judges chapter 14, verse 1. He went down to Timnah and he saw a Philistine woman. So now that we know that Timnah was considered the country, amen, and he had a wedding, the wedding was around this time, March, and then we know that there was a 7-day wedding feast. Dimensions of time. So now we get to verse 1 in chapter 15, and it says later on during the wheat harvest. Now, this helps put things into context, because remember yesterday we didn't know how long Samson was gone, honey. We just knew that he just up and rode out. Deuces, God goes according to what Deacon Johnson said on yesterday. Okay, so now we can see that this dude been gone about 2 or 3 months. Now remember, we are looking at this from a human, social, relational perspective. We're keeping God's will and plan and purpose at the forefront and at the top, but we are also looking at it from the dimension of just being human people and their relationship dynamics. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere, okay? So he got married in March. So you got March, April, May, June. Between mid-May and mid-June was the wheat harvest. So again, dude could have been gone like 2 or 3 months. So the other thing that I learned is that when you take a young goat as a gift, remember, God gives us what we need in His Word for us to understand. When you give somebody a young goat as a gift, as your translation, it may say a young kid or a kid. A kid is a baby goat. That's why they tell us we shouldn't call our children kids, right? Because a kid is actually a young goat, like for real, but that's a whole nother conversation. So when you give a gift, he was trying to reconcile relationship dynamics. Don't miss this point. Something within Samson knew that he was wrong. He left. Came back, His wife was given to somebody else. So he's trying to reconcile. So during the wheat harvest, he must have calmed down. He was no longer angry. Amen. So now he wants to visit his wife. Now let's look at this from a human perspective. It's like, okay, none of us are perfect. None of us get it right. We all got idiosyncrasies and propensities and vices and all of this stuff. We all got it. We're all, you know, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Every single one of us. Amen. So here we see Samson. Like, I guess, you know, somewhere along the line, he must have took his marriage seriously. I don't know. I don't know from a human perspective. We're not understanding his actions and how he moves up until this point. It's like you go down, you want this woman, like we recounted the story. You know what I mean? You know, you set up this riddle. You know, you don't tell her what the answer is. She crying, you know, get her threatened, just all of this stuff. Call her a cow. I mean, come on. You're just like, what? Then you leave, you come back, you're angry. Then your wife is given to somebody else. But now I want to talk about the quote. People only see your reactions. They never want to discuss your triggers. See, we know that Samson's propensities was a part of God's will. But from the naked eye, we don't know that. We only see Samson's reactions. We don't know what's motivating Samson. Well, we know, but the people that he is in relationships with, they don't know what's motivating him. They don't know that this is God ordained. They're just seeing his actions and reactions. Think about it. They don't know that. And then when you see that his wife was given to one of the men who had accompanied him, like, we just see that reaction. We don't know what triggered that. Now, we discussed yesterday from a very human perspective that these were people of a different culture. They didn't know when Samson was going to come back. They didn't know that. So was she supposed to just wait? I mean, this is what human beings would say. Without God, without God's perspective, without knowing that God is in the midst of this, they would just be like, he left. He's gone. So my daughter just supposed to be by herself for the rest of her life? Well, the woman could have said, I'm just supposed to be by myself. So in Samson's mind, according to chapter 15, verse 1, in Samson's mind, he's still married. In his mind, it doesn't matter the duration of time that passed, 2 or 3 months. In his mind, I guess that's not an issue. But he also knew that there needed to be some reconciliation, or he would not have gotten a young goat as a gift. Think about it. And when he says to the father, I want to go to my wife in her room, he said, but her father would not let him enter. So now let me tell you this from another cultural perspective. At that time, the wife was still living in the father's house. Men and women had separate quarters at that time. They had a separate apartment. So Samson went to the father's house where the women lived and said, "Hey, I want to see my wife. That's still my wife. I bought a gift." So in one of the commentaries, and we don't know this to be fact, but it talked about how Samson, you know, when you buy a kid, I don't want to use the word slaughter, but I guess there's no other term. This wasn't like a goat for worship, pretty much. Because remember, they had two different religions. So he didn't bring the goat as an offering for worship. He bought it so that they could have a meal. Think about it, y'all. And again, this is me adding commentary based on our understanding and how we would relate to people, right? If you get married, you know you kind of did it wrong, right? Some time went by. You want to reconcile. You get a gift. You go, you want to be with your wife. It's like, oh, you know, let's go ahead. Let's slaughter this goat. Let's have a meal. Let's reconnect. Like, come on, y'all. Let's come back together. I was wrong. Let's break some bread. Let's be intimate. Come on, y'all. These were real people. Amen. This is what, you know, one of the commentaries said, you know, like this is what was going on. These were the relationship dynamics here, okay, of what was going on in this historical account of Samson's life. Because that, at the end of the day, that's still his wife. They did not go through the process of divorce. Don't miss the morality in this account. They did not go through the process of divorce. However that looked in the Israelite culture and religion or in the Philistine culture and community, they were still married. So how do you just give this woman over to someone else? And then when Samson comes and the father would not let him enter, it's like, okay, that is still my wife. You may not like me. You may not like how I moved. You may not like my actions. But that's still my wife. And I'm here to see my wife. Remember, these were real people. So now let's go to verse 2. "I was sure you hated her," her father said. "So I gave her to one of the men who accompanied you. Isn't her younger sister more beautiful than she is? Why not take her instead?" Again, we only see people's reactions, but we never want to discuss their triggers. Now, even though the father, God, there is so much here. My God. It's like you can see this from both sides. We can see it from three sides. We can see, because remember, there's three sides to the truth. Is my account, your account, and then there's God. Amen? There's God. And so, we know God is in the midst of all of this. But if you look at it from the father's perspective, when he said, "I was sure you hated her, look at how you treated my daughter. You had this riddle. She came to you crying, distressed. You went and tell her. You made her beg you to the very end. And then you, like, leave for 2 or 3 months. What were we supposed to think? What were we supposed to do? I thought you hated her. See, we only see people's reactions, but we never discuss what triggered them. We may not agree with how the father moved, but dang, if you were human, you could understand why. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, okay? But then it's like, you give her to his friend. Now we're just like, okay. So Deacon Johnson says, the father boldly said this to Samson, I gave your wife to someone else. My God, yes. I gave your wife to someone else. We're not like two different cultures here. Two different religions at play here. Amen. And so, oh, there's another commentary, and I don't know how true this is, so you guys will have to look this up for yourself. I repeat, look this part up for yourself. I did not have time to do thorough research, but one of the commentaries stated that a goat was also used to sacrifice to the goddess of love. Now, that's something that we have to research, because if that's true, then you will see how Samson was trying to honor the culture. If a goat was used to sacrifice to the god of love, or the god or goddess of love, then we also see here Samson and this interfaith relationship and the two cult and the tension of the two cultures coming together, right? This is a goddess of love. I'm trying to reconcile. I'm trying to show you my love. I'm trying to give you my love. I'm trying to come back to you. I'm trying here. That's a marital relationship dynamic. I was dead wrong. I rolled out. I'm back now, okay? Then the father is in the midst, intervening. But let's not forget, the father's life was like threatened to death by fire. The father is from a different faith, a different culture, a different belief system. And this is still that man's daughter. So is he supposed to just leave his daughter, like, by herself, and the husband gone? He didn't know if the husband was going to come back. So that's why the father says, I was sure you hated her. I don't know you. I don't know how you move. I don't know your actions. I don't know your intentions. I just know you left. So I gave your wife to the man who accompanied you. But this is another aspect of the culture clash. Okay, we're dealing with a true Israelite and a true Philistine right here. Isn't her younger sister more beautiful than she? Why not take her instead? You know, in the Israelite culture, according to the Mosaic law, that is dead wrong and that is incestuous. And the wife wasn't dead. You only pass on, and I'm using that very loosely, a wife or a sibling is when the spouse died. Amen. Amen. That's where we learn about Onan and the spilling of the seed on the ground. And I can't remember the particular woman that was passed on. The husband died, so she was passed on to the one brother. That one brother died, she was passed on to that brother. Somebody else died. And then when he got to the last brother, he's like, this ain't my wife. She's really my brother's wife. If I put my seed in her, this really won't be my seed. This will be my brother's seed. Because according to our culture, if the husband dies, then to keep her covered, to keep her in the family, to be honorable to the family name, then she must marry one of the brothers. But that seed is really not considered, that brother's is considered the first husband's. Okay? So now, but that's only in the context of death. The class of cultures, a true Israelite and a true Philistine. Amen. So now we see the father not only gives the wife to somebody else, which was dude's friend, best man of his wedding, he offers Samson the younger sister. What? Now, Samson knew the Mosaic law and the Israelite culture. He knows that is wrong. So now, remember the true Israelite and the true Philistine, they were but so long tolerate one another. They were but so long, become weary of one another. Look at verse 3 in chapter 15. Samson said to them, "This time I will be blameless when I harm the Philistines." So we see people's reactions. We don't know what triggers them. Can we say that Samson was triggered? Okay, you give my wife to another man, my best man of my wedding, which is dead wrong. I come back and I want to be with my wife. You block me and stop me from being with my wife. And you tell me to my face that you gave my wife to somebody else. And then you offer me her sister, like I'm some uncircumcised Philistine that is immoral, that is incestuous. Are you kidding me? For real. Is this what's going down? So then Samson said, "Oh, okay. See, because when I go off, yo. When I go off, when I snap out, y'all gonna only see my reaction. Y'all not gonna see what triggered me. You not gonna see what triggered me. You only gonna see my reaction. And then you're gonna talk about me like a dog based on my reaction. But what did you do? What did you do?" And this is what we see right here in this passage of scripture. So what did Samson do, y'all? So he went out and caught 300 foxes. I don't know how he did it. Don't ask me, okay? He took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail. How do you do that? I have not a clue. Put a torch between each pair of tails. Then he ignited the torches and released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned the piles of grain in the standing grain as well as the vineyard and olive groves. Then the Philistines asked, "Who did this? Who you think did it?" "We were told it was Samson, the Timnite son-in-law because he took Samson's wife. Okay, it don't take a rocket scientist to know what went down. You mess with someone's spouse? Don't play. Come on now. He snapped. Yes, husband. Dr. William went the fourth. Good morning. He took Samson's wife and gave her to his companion. What did you think was going to happen? These were real people. You mess with me and mine? What do you think is going to happen? You mess with my stuff? What do you think is going to happen? Come on, what do you think is going to happen? You see my reactions, but you don't want to discuss my trigger. You don't want to discuss what you did. You just want to talk about my reaction. Stop playing. These are real people. My God. My God. Whoo. So the Philistines went to her and her father and burned them to death. They did not die by death according to Samson's hand. They died by death according to the Philistines. Doesn't this look very familiar? The very thing that they did not want to happen to them end up happening. All when that riddle started, they went. See, the Bible says, the commentary says that they were wrong. When the Philistines went to the wife, according to the commentary, the wife was wrong because she betrayed her husband. At that moment, even though she was threatened death by fire by the Philistine men, according to commentary, she betrayed her husband. She was disloyal to her husband when she shared the answer to the riddle. And I'm still struggling with that. Because I don't know. I'm sorry, husband. Okay, if you put me in that situation and my mama gonna die, my daddy gonna die, I'm gonna die, I may give up the answer too. We see people's reactions, but we don't want to discuss their triggers. There was something that motivated that woman to tell the riddle. She was a real person. That was her mama and her daddy. They were going to be threatened. They were going to die. So she betrayed her husband to keep her people alive. But there's still a higher moral, spiritual responsibility here. She married Samson. And she was disloyal to him. So the very thing that she did not want happened, the very thing that they did not want to happen, end up happening to them. I can't explain it. I can only account it. I can only recall. I can only teach it. Because I see all angles. Like my mind, just say blown. Put blown in the chat, okay? My mind is blown because I see this thing from every angle. And I can say I would probably be the wife who would want to save my people from dying. I didn't know this Israelite man. This man wanted me. He came down to our country. He came down to our people. Our people are threatening us based on some riddle that he wanted to do in the wedding feast. At that moment, what would you do? At that moment, would you be loyal to a man that you don't know? Or would you be loyal to your people? I'm sorry. Blown. Thank you. I'm sorry.
I would not look at that as betraying and being disloyal to a man that I don't even know, even though I said yes. I don't know, y'all. Well, I ain't gonna lie, I do know. I wouldn't have done that. I would have did what she did. And if you a man, you probably would have did what Samson did. What? He snapped. I don't know how he got them 300 foxes. Okay. I don't know how in the world he tied their tail. How you let this dude just, like, it's 300 of y'all. Y'all are wild animals. Okay, this was the anointing of God on his life. We don't understand how Samson moved, how God allowed Samson to move like this. But honey, this was all God. God was in the midst of all of it. It ain't for me to agree or disagree from my little natural, little human, little earthly perspective. That doesn't mean a hill of beans to God. But this right here, shoot. Y'all, okay? So we are going to pick right up at this point tomorrow. I know I went a little bit over time. Amen. Do we have any thoughts, any questions, any comments? My God, my God, my God. Amen. Anyone? Shoot. Woo! Y'all. Whew. All right. No comments. Well, I love you guys. I just pray that this was a blessing unto you. I pray that you guys are getting a lot out of this as we are looking at kingdom value. Amen. Yes. Okay. Thank you, husband. He says fire. Thank you, Tear. She says, all I can say is wow. Yes. Okay, all we can say is just like, this is some stuff, honey. This is, woo, you talk about a sitcom. Rhonda says, you are teaching us. God bless you. Thank you so, so much. Well, y'all, God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful first Tuesday in March 2024. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.